Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
There's been a whole lot of love for our man Brano among our World Service members of late. Fergus wrote in to praise Kevin's unique and highly entertaining reporting style. Johnny Hawkins even sent an email addressed to Brano et al. It's finally happened, Murph. We are the et al now. This is Brano's World Service and we're just living in it.
Well, you know, we should embrace this, you know. We've created a monster, a benign monster, a bull's monster. So let's just let him flourish. You know, give him...
Not that benign anymore. It's the problem. The monster's taken over.
Mm, yeah, maybe. We should watch that guy.
Here's a chunk of our League of Ireland preview with Snaid and Brano.
He's a madman, letting off fireworks and people's runners and all sorts.
I just had a lot of good fun. I got a bowls games.
It's not off the record stuff, it's on the record. If he's a spacer.
If you look at flares, if you look at flags. You can also like sneak your cans into the stand really easily.
Come on, now touch me, babe.
We need to touch each other more.
Can't you see that I am not afraid?
You're for amazing sign.
What was that promise that you made?
That's what going to a football match is about.
Why won't you tell me what she said?
Touching other people, you're hugging other people.
What was that promise that you made?
We need to touch each other more.
Now I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain.
Do you for amazing sign.
10 years, the majority, apart from like a 16 or 17 year old like Naz Raj or whatever, that go to Italy, the majority of players who are playing in the Irish starting 11 in a decade's time will have played League of Ireland, will have played like a season or two of League of Ireland because of Nigel Farage and Brexit, you know. So that's why this isn't just like, oh, the League of Ireland fans, you know, want nicer seats. It's like now more than ever the league is like totally integral to the whole Irish football system.
That makes sense. Just on Stephen Bradley, because you went to see him, you were chatting to him this week as well. He spoke again about his burning ambition to manage the Ireland team. I'm not naive or silly. I understand people's opinions that don't know football. Just the general public who go to Ireland games. We have had a... Hang on. General public who go to Ireland games. Are they the people who don't know football? Hang on a second, mate. Anyway, we've had a manager. This is the idea of the great unwashed. We have had a manager from the league. And if another manager from the league got the job, I could understand some people's opinions might be negative towards that. So it is a funny one because he hasn't really figured that much in the conversation. This is the manager of the 4 in a row winning Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, and I suppose an element to that would be kind of what even with Stephen Kenny. Stephen Kenny was able to put himself into that conversation because of what he'd done in Europe. Yeah. You know, and there's no getting away from that. That's what he was able to say. Well, this is what I'm actually capable of at a level that is not too dissimilar to international football. So that's what he was able to do that. And I think that's probably next what Stephen Bradley would have to do, where he can be not considered, because he's someone who, what he's done at Rovers, and I think you would have to agree, what he's done at Rovers and how he's like just made them technically and how he's created that squad of players and how they play and been able to dominate. I know last year they kind of struggled, and he kind of gave his reasons for that in terms of only giving them 3 weeks off, and it was a mistake that he made, and that's why he gave them nearly 2 months off coming into this season, because he was like, he realised that they were mentally drained because he played like 56 games the previous season. But he has created something really impressive at Rovers, and obviously he's been back to a degree, but he's still been able to be the one to shape where that club is at now.
Has he kissed and made up with the board?
think so, yeah. I think he went somewhere. He said he was saying he went off on holiday and went switched off, had a place where he said he couldn't even have his phone, which I thought was interesting. I was like, I asked him, I was like, is that probably part of the reason why you realised you didn't get a call from the FAI because you had your phone? And what you call it. But that's probably now, I think, what he needs to do next. That's probably why he was talking about peaking for the summer and making sure when it comes to summertime, that's when they're prime.
Has he not done enough, though, to get a shot at the Ireland job based on his domestic success, given that, say, Shay Given has apparently ruled Lee Carsley out of the race?
I think at this stage,
Neil Lennon looks like the favourite. Would you prefer Stephen Bradley to Neil Lennon, for example?
100%, yeah. 100%. Yeah. But, like,
why, though? Neil Lennon's beaten Barcelona in the Champions League. Is
in what, 2011?
Yeah, but I'm saying he has managed at that level, and you're saying that he's managed successfully at that level, I should say, and that's the one thing Stephen Bradley
hasn't done. League of Ireland is the top level of football on the island, and he's won the top level of football league 4 times in a row, and he's going to win 5 in a row. And you know, you can look at the European campaigns. Like, he has qualified Rovers twice for group stage European football. Second time he had to divvy up games because they hadn't won the league and stuff like that. So,
and that why would the
guy who has won the top level of football on the island not be considered to be the Ireland manager?
I think because of the previous guy not working out, he hit the nail on the head himself there, Stephen Bradley. He says this is the perception now is, well, the League of Ireland thing didn't work.
And
this is what it was like after Kerr, is it?
Probably, yeah. I don't remember there being a great clamour for another League of Ireland figure to come along.
But neither was there at that time someone who'd won 4 titles in a row, kind of thing. You know, like as someone whose record was obviously outstanding compared to other.
Even in the public conversation, his name doesn't come up very much.
Why not?
Yeah. I think it's got to be because it didn't work for Kenny.
That is the reason why.
And people are reacting. I'm not saying that's correct, because they're two totally different people, different ideas in the game, different personalities, all those sorts of things. Yeah. It would be great to see Stephen Bradley get a shot. I feel if, for example, Stephen Kenny had done really well, and if for some reason he had to walk away at this point, maybe the Bradley thing would nearly be seen as a continuity appointment. We'll go for another great Irish football man. But maybe that's not the circumstance.
In terms of, say, with the Neil Lennon and Stephen Bradley, because you don't want the sense to be the fella leading the team, leading this group of players on what's coming next, to be almost like someone he's on the downward slope of his career. You want someone who's either coming forward and on the upswing, or if it is going to be, and it's not going to happen because of, say, finance or wherever, a big name who would actually come in and take it, like a Trapp. But even then, Trapp, I'm kind of contradicting myself there, was someone who was at the latter stages of his career in management. But what I'm saying is, the reason why I would say an appointment like Stephen Bradley over someone like Neil Lennon is because you want to maintain that feeling of a bit of energy at least, and not it would take a couple of bad, maybe it'd be the same for Stephen Bradley, a couple of bad results, which are, let's be honest, it's not
the fixtures are difficult
just the arse to fall out of it, and a lot of the enthusiasm that had been there even within the end of the Stephen Kenny reign in terms of fans going to games and just a bit of the connection that was there, because you forget that had totally gone at the latter stages of Martin O'Neill's reign, then it would be gone again for a while.
I don't think I'd be doing an open top parade on my own down O'Connell Street if Bradley gets the Ireland job, but you could see how you could spin a better narrative around it. You're like, what's the point of the League of Ireland if it's not to bring true coaches and players for the national team? He's 39 years old, he's won the league 4 times.
39, he
only won't be 40 till after the season finishes,
so the managers are younger than me. Dave, you've got to get used to that,
and maybe it's because you would have a better understanding of what Neil Lennon is like as a fella from working with him, right? But just from being around Stephen Bradley, he is a very impressive person. What he's been through in his life and the story that he's had in his own life and what he's come through to be still involved in football and to actually have the passion for the game when he could easily have just said, I want nothing to do with this anymore, I want to just go in. It's genuinely one of the...
It was so impressive talking to Richie recently on Richie's podcast.
That is probably one of the reasons why we're calling him. I just think he is a very impressive fella, and also what he's been capable of doing with our Shamrock Rovers team, and what I was saying about moulding it and having his fingerprints all over that club is impressive, because it's easy to say, oh well, they've got maybe more money than other people, and well, they have for the point, but they didn't start at that point. You know what I mean? When he was coming in, Dundalk were the dominant force. He has built it. Do you know what I mean? He has been the one who has built that club.
Murph, I feel Stephen Bradley remains a contender until a TV pundit officially rules him out. That's the only way it's done now. Shea Given tells us Lee Carsley's not going to do it for now, Lee Carsley. But maybe in the future. Brian Kerr says Chris Hughton needs a rest. Until I see Kevin Doyle on screen telling us Stephen Bradley's not being considered, I refuse to believe it. I don't know why I picked out Kevin Doyle there. I just think he would deliver the news in his own inimitable style.
Yeah, I mean, Tala's own Richard Dunn. I mean, he's on the ground there.
Richard Dunn might have been a better one, Murph. Yeah, yeah. I can do some more. I need to get back in the king-making game or the king-breaking game and see if I can get Richard Dunn to rule out one or two. Richard Dunn could rule out both Robbie Keane and Stephen Bradley in one fell swoop. Yeah. We could take care of those two. And at least it's a process of elimination. Just keep ruling everyone out publicly and then finally we'll get our man. Sneak preview time. This is a clip from our final show of the week going out tomorrow. World Service members haven't even heard this one yet. A bit of a weird chat, this one, I won't lie to you. All about the enhanced games idea. I don't know if you've heard about this, but this is a doping-friendly... Doping-friendly doesn't even do it justice.
No,
champions doping.
Yeah. I mean, doping is at the heart of this, yeah.
Doping is at the heart of this sporting event that has been mooted for a while, but I wasn't really paying it any attention, to be honest with you, until this last week or so, because now it has an athlete ready to be the face of it, James Magnussen. James, the missile Magnussen, the retired Aussie world champion swimmer, who says, "I'll juice to the gills and I'll break the world record in 6 months." Sinead O'Carroll was in studio to help us figure out our feelings on all this.
I think some of the arguments for this seem quite common sense in some ways, you know, that there is terrible governance in the Olympics, that a lot of the athletes live hand to mouth for a lot of the years in between, and then they get a little bit of paltry sponsorship. And so, you know, these are some of the things that the enhanced games say that they will fix. You know, they will pay the athletes, they will make sure that they're not in an unfair field where some people are maybe doping at a state level where they have all of the supports around them, or at a very high level, you know, in the vein of Lance Armstrong.
It will be safer as well, they claim. It will be overseen by medical professionals and so on.
Yeah, again, so the devil in the detail is in that.
And a few disclaimers signed.
Yeah.
Go on, though.
Like all of that common sense, but I think what it misses out on is they're trying to say, well, people want to watch, you know, the Olympic thing of faster, higher, stronger. But really, we have known for years that sport is more than that. Like, you know, you talked on Monday about seeing the joy on Jack Crowley's face, you know, about, you know, the narrative of sex. And we wouldn't have these podcasts. We wouldn't have a whole industry built around sport if it was just about higher, faster, stronger. That's not why we watch it. So if it's in the enhanced games, it's just about who dopes better or whose body takes on juice better, it loses all of the actual thing that drives us towards sport.
Already the case. It's just there's less honesty about it now. There's no transparency about it because you don't know who's doping and who's not. Oftentimes, the people who are at the highest, fastest, strongest are the dopers anyway.
I think that's why the efforts should be put into what more can we do. You know, I think it's interesting the enhanced games focused on five sports. So they said, they looked at the Olympics, they said they had some, you know, measurement, some algorithm, like fanciful thing, decided which sports were the best ones to go to. And, you know, it's all individual stuff, but I think, you know, plays along with the Thiel kind of libertarian, individualistic, you know, sovereign ideals that they have. But, you know, so we have track and field, swimming, gymnastics and combat are included in them. So you're not talking about team stuff either. So like a lot of the unfairness and a lot of doping, we don't know what's happening. It's happening in team sport as well. So it's not just that they're trying to fix. It's holds galore.
Ken, you on board? The enhanced games.
Well, I think that the important thing to remember with this is that it's actually got nothing to do with sport. Mm-hmm. Right? It's nothing to do with sport. If you see Aaron Ping de Souza, who's kind of the front man, the president of the enhanced games, he says, "We believe science is real and has an important..." I'm reading from their website. "Has an important place in supporting human flourishing. There is no better forum for highlighting the centrality of science in our modern world than elite sports." So what these people are doing is taking sport and using it as a vehicle for an ideological project. Mm. Well, and I say an ideological project, but it's also an idea for a TV show. Like, that's kind of... I see one of the main investors is like a TV and movie producer.
Well, that's just common sense. If I was setting up something like anything new in the sports world, I would be having it documented to try and promote the thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is like, it's a freak show that you can put on TV and it could be, you know, it could be big and that's interesting. But I think the main thing it is, and if you look at the people who are funding it, is actually is an ideological project. So what ideology do I mean? I mean, like, tech accelerationism. So, like, the idea that, like, we need to get rid of all the boundaries to progress. Like, progress as seen, for example, in Silicon Valley, you know, with the kind of companies that we, in many cases, have founded or own, is actually the secret of, is what drives human civilization forward, and without it, we're all doomed. So one of the founders, one of the funders, I should say, is Balaji Srinivasan, who used to work with Andreessen Horowitz, which is one of these big venture capital firms. Mark Andreessen, who's the Andreessen from the name, recently published a kind of a massive, insane Substack called The Techno-Optimist Manifesto, which is quite an interesting document, which is written in the form of like a creed, like it's like a series of like one sentence paragraphs, which begins like, we believe in this, we believe in one God, we believe in one true holy and Catholic and Apostolic Church, except in his case it's, you know, we believe the market economy is a discovery machine, a form of intelligence, an exploratory, evolutionary, adaptive system. We believe the ultimate moral defense of markets is that they divert people who otherwise would raise armies and start religions into peacefully productive pursuits, blah blah blah. So he's kind of saying that you've got all these naysayers here and there and everywhere. You know, you've got communists, you've got socialists,
governments,
you've got woke, the wokies, you've got governments, you've got like the precautionary principle, you've got the FDA. This guy Srinivasan actually was under consideration to head the FDA at one point in the early presidency of Trump, but Trump decided no. Actually, no.
That's even too much for me.
Yeah. You know, you've got all these people, and you know, these are the people who would have turned around to Prometheus because they love to talk about ancient Greek and Roman history and mythology. You can see this website is covered in like the faces, you know, the statue faces that you've learned to recognize on Twitter.
But it looks like they look like AI generated statues.
Yeah.
There's something really weird about it. Anyway, yes.
Well, of course. I mean, yeah. You know, AI generated statues is better than the real thing. So, you know, these people would have come up to Prometheus as he was about to take the fire to, you know, to lift humanity out of its darkness and said, no, Prometheus, like, there could be all kinds of problems. And, you know, we need to sweep all this nonsense away. And so standing in for the, in the story that they're telling, the IOC is like the corrupt establishment entity that's holding back progress. So part of the kind of sales pitch is like, you know, quite, I mean, reasonable.
Appealing.
Reasonable.
It's quite appealing to a lot of us to have a pop at the IOC and bring them down a peg or two.
Yeah, sort of a populist kind of attack on the IOC and its corruption and inefficiency and its what's antiquated legacy systems and all this kind of stuff. And we can do it much better, you know, sweep all this nonsense away. We can do it much better. Pay the athletes a fair price is a big part of the front of the pitch, you know, as Shirley
referred
to.
Which they don't get paid in the Olympics.
No, you don't get paid. Maybe you get paid if you win a medal or something. And clearly there are commercial benefits to winning an Olympic medal. You know,
it depends on your country, yeah.
Yeah.
Whether you get money. Like I think the US, if you win a medal, you get money, and the UK don't.
They do highlight a number of stories of athletes and I don't know. There's a lot of quotes from athletes. I don't know if permission was sought for these quotes, but they quote a lot of athletes talking.
I don't think you need permission.
No, you've said it out there publicly, and there's pictures of athletes talking about basically how, you know, in some cases, famous athletes making very little money and struggling to make a living.
Yeah, they're all under the
IOC.
Like we know our grant system here. A lot of people are working jobs and they get 20 grand and they have to try and stay in, you know, the top 20 to even get that 20 grand, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And this obviously is unfair, you know, but I also don't think the people who are behind this actually really care about that stuff at all. You know, I think that the idea is to kind of showcase a view of the world. You know, they keep talking about science. Like, if you see this guy just as doing interviews, he always is like, science is real, science is here. You know, so he worked for Peter Thiel in a he's part of that kind of circle. apparently he was involved in the big libel action that Thiel funded for Hulk Hogan against Gawker, which destroyed that website a few years back. And now he's doing this thing. Christian Angermeyer, the TV producer guy I was talking about, you know, his investment company is called Aperon, which is like this Greek, we're obviously Greek, you know, meaning like chaos or the void, you know, like this, everyone wants to, like if you look at the website, there's like a quote, one of the pages has a quote from Seneca, a quote from Marcus Aurelius, a quote from Tywin Lannister. The Tywin Lannister quote is, you know, a lion does not care about the opinions of sheep.
That one was unattributed now. The Tywin Lannister.
They didn't attribute, but everyone recognized the Tywin Lannister. You have to attribute the Seneca. What was the... Let me see what the Seneca one was.
Something about 10,000 men, was it, or something?
No, it's something about what a disgrace it is for a man to... what a disgrace it is for a man to grow old without seeing the beauty and strength of which his body is capable. So you'd have to attribute that, because no one knows that. I mean, the Tywin Lannister quote is a kind of a little twist on a Mussolini quote, which was, better to live one day as a lion than 100 years as a sheep. You know, so he kind of took that and he picked the ball up and rammed it. So, you know, what they're doing is like, and then there's this other weird aspect of the website, which really surprised me when I was looking at it, which is this, there's a whole aspect of it, which is sort of trolling, like woke language about like being gay.
Oh, how to come out, that section.
Yeah, there's a website. How to come out is enhanced.
So you know, D'Souza is a gay man. So he kind of says that being a doped athlete is like being a gay man a few decades ago.
A closeted gay man.
Yeah, where it was illegal in some countries and you had to like hide down dark alleys and you weren't allowed to be yourself, which is kind of a bizarre analogy, right?
There's a glossary, like,
kind of heroising dopers, even though it's...
Well, they don't like that term, Sinead. Doping, as with other slurs, there is no acceptable alternative.
I thought they were big free speech warriors.
Cheating should be called a demonstration of science. This is their glossary of terms. Clean athlete should be called natural athlete. Enemies of freedom throughout time have weaponized the use of the word clean. For example, the Nazi Party also used propaganda to position their political enemies as impure, using this to justify their war crimes and race-based ideology. This website is worth a read, folks, and that's what we're telling you here.
Yeah, it really is. But you know, I mean, this is all. This is obviously trolling, right? This stuff is like what? Yeah, I was sort of trying to make sense of it. I was like, who is this aimed at? Like, is this like basically the people who really would be enthusiastic about watching this are the people who would actually like really to have. Why don't you give one of the athletes a sword and a little shield and one of them a trident and net and have them go at it? You know, because
like people who say, what did he say on that podcast? Six pack city. Six pack city.
Yeah.
People who say six pack city. Yeah, this is who this is for.
Yeah.
Directly at those people.
You know, the barbarian horde or whatever. Let them go at each other. This is really what we all want to go back to, you know. I mean, they obviously aren't going to be impressed by this sort of
glossary of terms,
like basically taking all of this sort of language that we've kind of got used to over the last while in terms of like literally how to come out. There's a how to come out guide as an enhanced athlete, you know, where this, it can be liberating to be authentic in the presence of your family and love, you know, it's kind of what is this? But then people who are sort of, you know, the sort of other side, I have to say here, but it's not as though there are two sides on this, kind of like insulted by the obvious trolling of like something that they take seriously. Like, why are you kind of treating this in this? Why are you doing this? But of course, from their point of view, and I mean here like the kind of tech accelerationist, you know, Peter Thiel, Balaji Srinivasan outlook, all of this sort of woke language policing is deadening of, you know, the impulse to progress. You know what I mean? So it's all sort of, that's why, like, it just, I was just, why have they put all this stuff in? It just seems sort of, it's sort of irrelevant. Why are they doing this big drive-by on this? Like, they, at the end of one of the sections, they have, oh, with thanks to like the government of the state of Victoria, whose, you know, appropriate language guidelines were an invaluable help to us in compiling this section. You know, why bother putting in a drive-by on these people? But of course, it's actually part of the same sort of agenda. Like this, you know, wokeness as this sort of idea of leveling, like, you know, the equality is obviously a big bugbear. I hate using that word. equality is the big no-no. It's like, no, you know, we need progress, and that means, you know, so we need to allow greatness to flourish. We need greatness. We need markets. We need these billionaires. You know what I mean? That's kind of where the ideology leads to.
It's like this idea Thiel has, you know, written about this years ago, that like companies are much better than governments because there's one leader and one decision maker. You're like, I think we might have tried that in a few places, Peter.
The quiet part loud there,
yeah,
Peter.
But it is, and the IOC have said this, like when the enhanced games idea came up again this week, that it's kind of trying to undermine the idea of sovereign states and, you know, national identity, and create this kind of more individualistic games. So they are trying to point to what you're saying, that this isn't really about sport. This is about something much different. Now, again, when you look at the website, this isn't going to happen. They initially said it was going to happen in December 2024, and now they're saying mid-2025.
They've got an athlete now.
They've one athlete and one website that kind of looks like it was, yeah, as you said, AI-generated by a transition year student.
Starts with one athlete, though. It's got to start somewhere.
And maybe he'll just get the million. He'll just go
into a pool. It won't happen. I mean, if they've got money, and, you know, you're always going to have people come along and...
It might not be massive, but they might
I've
just
seen stupider TV shows.
They're only talking about having a few hundred people, so you know.
Yeah, I just think maybe the idea is stronger for them than the actuality of it. You know, the more that they can keep talking about this and doing down of the Olympics, the more useful it is for the likes of Peter Thiel and people like that. Whereas actually doing it badly, and like this, like. You know, maybe it will happen. Thiel generally is, his biographer, Max Chafkin, says he's the most important person in Silicon Valley. The stuff that he backs, works, this, you know, Airbnb, like he's a PayPal founder, he has the Founders Fund, the stuff that he goes into Palantir now, which is his big company, has contracts for it with the US defense, but now they have the contract with the NHS in Britain. So he like came in during COVID. If you look at his billions, the rise in 2020, everything he bets on kind of works out, which is why this is interesting, because it doesn't look like a bet that's going to work out when you look at the website, when you look at the spokesperson, you look at the people even in front. So there has to be other reasons why he's doing it. And I think it's all of these talking points that Ken is has outlined there.
See, he's in an interesting position because he's both one of these progressive, you know, like accelerationist guys. Like, you know, we need to speed up progress. Like one of his big things is, oh, we haven't actually made any technological progress in the last like 50 years, you know, and you're kind of thinking, what is he talking about? Because it's like, it seems to me that the changes in the world, or the changes in the way that I live now, or the way I experience the world, is massive from like 25 years ago. Massive.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Most sports nutrition experts would argue that the fueling begins, in fact, the most important element of it is the day before, particularly the night before. So if you could take us through your routine.
To win the Premier League, it's a war on nutrition.
Okay, well, the night before I had sort of a chicken salad.
Yeah, perfect.
Lovely, perfect.
I put a bit of pesto on. I mean, I put half a jar of
pesto. That's too much pesto, but it's not the end of the world.
And I actually bulked up that chicken salad with a little bit of Israeli couscous.
We're still okay. We're still in the realms of pretty good nutrition, I would say, the day before a race.
I had two beers.
It's the best thing in the world for you because it's full of protein.
Okay, not ideal, but not the end of the world.
I had a small Pringles. You know the Ritter
Ritter Sport bars. I hadn't seen cornflake one before.
Nobody had any soup to start with. Nobody had any puddings to finish with. They had fish and chips.
Okay, I had a whiskey and coke.
No, come on, not great. Not after the beers.
Well, it was a whiskey and coke zero.
You know, you probably know what direction I was thinking. We'll have another whiskey.
You could have one drink, no more, and then you're back to the hotel and you're off to bed.
Then I was thinking, what will I have?
Nah, you know what? You know, I'll have a cup of tea.
Okay. Perfect.
I had tea, then I had
a few digestive biscuits.
Well, there was a suggestion that there was sort of an all-you-can-eat sort of a thing going on.
I wasn't counting them. They were like buns to an elephant. I was just hoovering them up. And then just before I went to bed, I had a slice of toast with Nutella.
No!
It was whole grain bread.
James Magnuson is one thing, Murph, but come on, we all know who the Enhanced Games need to get involved here.
After you faced death, was it hard to take EPO?
You mean the decision? Because we did EPO before and then obviously did it after. No. No. No.
Oh. Any, you know, qualms about doping?
No.
Nah,
nah.
Nah. You mean before? Because we were doing it before or the after? Or the No issues. I mean, no issues there. Next question.
Like, I'd have handed over the checks, you know, putting the medals over the winning athletes. I mean, I'd call it the Lance Armstrong Enhanced
Games. We already know what Lance can do. That's worth pointing out. If we do know, we already know what Lance can do on performance enhancing drugs. You're right. He has to be the ceremonial kind of figurehead.
Yeah.
We've already got James Magnuson as the guy who's the formerly clean athlete who's ready to dirty himself up. So let's get Lance involved in it. Yeah, it's below him to go back doping at this point, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, so what a front man he is, you know. There was a time there on where large swathes of our professional life were spent talking about and in general just being agog at Lance Armstrong, you know. I mean, it's a long time ago now. It's well over 10 years, but I've missed him and I want him back in our lives. And I think the Enhanced Games is the best vehicle to get Lance back in the game.
There are far worse things you can put in your body.
If you want to hear that chat in full, secondcaptains.com, €5 a month plus a small bit of VAT, depending whereabouts in the world you live. You'll also hear the episodes without any ads. You'll be supporting independent, member-led journalism. What's not to like about all this? The Second Captains podcast is also part of the... Fuck, I've forgotten, Murph. What's the name of it?
Hold on a second here.
Help me out here,
no,
buddy.
I'll never forget the good people at the Acast Creator Network. I'm wearing one of their hoodies right now on. That's how much I love them.
I was actually wearing one of their five-a-side jerseys to... football on Monday night. So we've said too much. We've given Acast too much here, Murph.
We have too much winning.
I have four words for you. I love this company. Yes!
Developers.
Yes.
What phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.